it's better from here.
Victor 91.5, you know, there is a gravitas about what we've been talking about on Rise and Stein this morning, having our virtual Passover Seder. But for the last minute and a half, we've been watching Pickles Cam.
This is just how deep they are.
It's much less theological.
Look, she's turning around. Austin let us borrow his super-duper cam. Mm-hmm.
And so
we have it, we have it hooked up.
We have a chi cam.
Yeah, chi cam. Take that, Berry College Eagle cam or whatever you've got. We've got Chihuahua cam.
That's right.
Chihuahua cam.
Good morning, David and Leanna and Ray Haynes, having our virtual Passover Seder. And many of us are getting this for the very first time and understanding what these three feasts are about and how they relate to each other.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about this, and if you were, as Dave did for his whole life, sit in a Jewish home and have a Passover, you have all the elements, but none of the realities of what they mean, which is ironic because the Jews are actually the ones who picked all the elements, including the middle matzah that's broken that represents Jesus. And the whole time, breaking it, not knowing who he is. And that's why, you know, when he came and was crucified, this just makes you, just explodes in your heart. God, help me not to miss you on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. This is the reason. It's not to look back in a way. It's to look at your own life and say, oh, God, you are my Passover. Help me to walk as you are my Passover, that you're my deliverer. Mm-hmm. So we talked about the three pieces of matzah, the three pieces of bread. There's four cups of wine or juice. We're up to the second cup.
All of this has fueled my love for the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness.
And yes. You know, and it's weird to say, growing up Jewish, that now my passion for the Jewish people, my passion for Israel, is at an all-time high because of all of this.
Yeah. Well, I think it gives you a great love for the Jews, because there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ, who is Jewish and who came through a very specific way. And as Paul said, it comes through the Jews. So, you know, when you go back and you step into this, you're going to see what they went through as the shadow in the picture, so that you can see the reality of your own life. Now, the second cup represents the plagues and iniquity. We just told the story and how they were delivered, and the son was killed in Egypt, and of course they were delivered as the Egyptians woke up and their oldest son and oldest animal was dead. They realized what was going on. But so this second cup is very profound. You refill. Now, it's a couple things to note of these cups. If you ever do a Seder, you have to drink everything in the cup. It's about your joy. So as a general rule, you don't fill your cup all the way full. you'll be floating around there and sloshing as you do Passover.
And I don't think, you know, based on my remembrance of these holidays in my parents' house, it was either Mogen David or Manischewitz grape wine.
Right.
I don't think anybody should drink a lot of that.
No. Four cups of that could kill you. So in those moments, it's because your joy is full, and so it's a significant part of each one of those cups. You empty it to the last, because, and as you'll see, Jesus did the very same thing. He said, "Don't let can this cup pass from me." No, you've got to drink all of it. Mm. So the second cup is the cup. Go ahead.
Wow! I'm hearing that for the first time.
You got to drink all of it. He had to die.
He had to
lay every last breath, every last drop of blood from his body, even to the piercing of his side and the exploding where it had grown in that sack, just poosh, splashing out. So when you fill a second cup, it's the cup of the 10 plagues. And it's the verse, "I will free you from being slaves to them." So, again, you're looking back at your life of sin. You're looking at your greatest failures, all right? A full cup represents joy, but we want to remember the Egyptians who died. So we're going to say each plague, and we dip our little finger into the cup, and you allow a drop of wine or juice to fall onto the plate. Mm-hmm. And you do this to take away some of our joy.
Mm.
Because, see, when we look at the world, there's no greater sin than to live in your Christianity and forget the world. You cannot love God and ignore
His people.
His people, the very ones He came to die for. So this cup is all about that. So you actually say, our joy is not full because we were set free, but the Egyptians died. And God has taught us to love our enemies.
Wow.
So you take a little finger, you dip it in there, and you let a drop come out.
I remember that. These
were the 10 plagues which God brought upon the Egyptians in Egypt. Blood, frogs, lice, swarms of insect, cattle, disease. And each time, there's a drop of wine or juice coming from your finger. Mm-hmm. Boils, hail, locusts, darkness, slaying of the firstborn. Then you raise up the cup and you say the prayer, blessed are you, Lord of God, ruler of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. And you drink this second cup. This is where the Passover takes this really neat turn. You drink it leaning to the left because they had been slaves their whole life, right? They didn't get to sit down and eat. And Jewish tables, and actually in all of those cultures, were on the floor. So you were always waiting on somebody else. And their whole lives, they had been slaves. So this is the first time to lean down, to lay down as a free man and drink.
To recline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Manash Tana Halayla Zeh Michal Halayla. Why on this night do we do things differently?
Right.
Why do we recline?
It was Jesus. It's Jesus.
And I got to tell you, if you've lived a life of sin and you're set free, you wonder why there's so much joy. Because you've been a slave your whole life, and suddenly you're set free, and you get everything tastes different. Everything changes, and we can never ever forget why the world needs Jesus and why we've got to go. And right after this cup, you sing Psalm 136. It's the great Hallel, the great praise, and Dayenu, which is a really neat song.
It is a beautiful song.
Gorgeous.
But I'm just going to give you the gist of the song. We won't sing it to you. But if
why not? we had to sing it every year.
Day in. If God had only delivered us from Egypt, it would have been enough for us. And that's what it means. Day new is enough. This is it. It would have been sufficient. If that was all that would happen, and the Hebrew word for it would have been enough is Dayenu, pronounced Dayenu. And it would have been enough if all he had done is save us. If that was it, it would have been enough. And that's where we look at these plagues and iniquity as God's taken us out of sin. God, that would have been enough. But the fact that we sing and rejoice is there's so much more because now we get to live. And after this cup, you are going to you're going to do something really special. We talked about salt before, right? So this time you're going to have a little piece of matzah, and you're going to take a pinch of salt and put the salt on the matzah. Because Leviticus says, season all your grain offering with salt. Do not leave the salt off of the covenant of your God. Out of your grain offerings, add salt to all your offerings. And this is your presence with God, because you are now the salt of the earth. Mm. You're celebrating this joy. Right after that, you're going to have the horosis and bitter herbs. There is no matzah in this one. So bitter herbs mixed with horosis, which is sweet and very delicious. We recall the bitterness of slavery when he chose to sin. We remember the suffering of Jesus who set us free. And in the horosis, we taste the sweetness of God's forgiveness. Now, probably one of those profound moments you remember from the Last Supper we'll wrap up this segment with. And it's matzah. It's bitter herb sandwich. So you have two pieces of matzah. This is the only time.
It's a very thin sandwich.
Isn't it? It's the only time you have a sandwich in the meal. So this is bitter herbs and horosis. And so you're recalling the bitterness of slavery of sin. And in the horosis, as always, the sweetness of his redemption. But you make a sandwich of this. And this was eaten in those days at the Last Supper Passover. It would have been with lamb as well. So you'd have had lamb, the bitter herbs, and the horosis. And this is also known as the sop. And it's still customary to this day to give the sop that you dip to a loved one. And if you remember at the Last Supper, who gets the sop? Jesus says, the one who dips with me, this is the one who betrayed me. So this is given to at the Last Supper, there were only three that should have got that, and that would have been Peter, James, or John. They were the closest, most, the deepest followers. But what is he saying? He gives it to Judas to identify him of his betrayal.
Oh,
you give this to a loved one. So, I mean, up to the moment of his betrayal, Jesus is saying,
extending forgiveness.
Yeah, I love you. You are my great beloved. You are the one I choose. I mean, it's over and over and over. So, I know for Passover, for me, the significance again and again is you get stuck in stupid. You get stuck in a sin and you just return to it and you keep returning to it. And you got to ask God, is there a point where you're just going to get so tired of me returning and then returning to you? And this is him holding out that sop going, you know, we're married. I have chosen you. I will get you through this if you just come to me. And so he says, take and eat me. Eat me, eat this, and I'll set you free.
You.
You know that movie.
You are killing me. You. How good would this be to send to my mom and dad? And of course, my mom will say, sounds like you have a cold. Well, we're going to do that. We're going to continue.
Oh, I can't wait to hear more.
We're going to continue with our virtual Passover. It's Victory 91.5.